Hi, I'm Kathy. I'm Nora. And Kathy, I brought you a bean. You got me with that bean, baby. Is that, where did you get this bean? Did you steal this bean? Well, you know, I know you're a country girl, and I'm the city girl, but I got this from our community garden and grew. Isn't that great? Here, have a bean.
Oh,
thank you. That's a very, that's a almost a pea-like bean. Nicely done.
Thank you.
So, first up, a new book says that Japanese students in university are maintaining 80 to 90% of their friendships over cell phones with people that they've never actually even met.
They're not real friends?
Well, no, I think this is an interesting thing, is are they real friends or aren't they real friends? This guy, professor of media called Kenji Koyama, at a
very well done.
Thank you, at a university in Japan, has written a whole book about the sort of the sociology of keitais or cell phones, as they're called in Japan. And he says that he's, you know, interviewed his students at the university, and they report that 80 to 90% of the people in their, you know, cell phone contact lists, they're friends, but they're people that they've never actually met. They're people that they've established text messaging or phone conversations with, that they've, you know, they've developed these networks of sociability, but they've never actually met, much like we might have through, you know, through online acquaintanceships.
So with something like that, do you know how you would actually make friends with people that you don't know on a phone? Like, I was wondering if it must have some sort of an online component at some, like chat rooms or something.
But maybe it's kind of like blogs, you know, that if you, you know, it's a sort of people referring people to other people, you know, I become friends with Kathy and then I meet somebody else, or you should meet my friend Kathy. I'm not sure how it works, but that seems like it might be probable if you're essentially just forwarding numbers or...
Yeah, that would make sense if you were actually sort of doing a mass emailing too, and then you'd hear somebody's reply, then you think, well, that person sounds kind of neat. But, well, so... How long do they stay friends, or, you know?
But, you know, that's the funny thing, actually, that what he was saying is that, you know, one of the downfalls of this is that when people change their cell phone provider or their cell phone unit and their phone number changes, they basically, they drop off the map of all these people who they knew, and in fact, people...
That could be good.
Well, I know, people actually see this as being kind of a benefit, right? Like, I'm sick of that group of people I met, I'm changing my cell phone provider, and now I'm essentially invisible because these people, they don't know where I live, they don't know what I look like, and if I, you know, they no longer have my contact info, boom, I just get myself a whole new set of friends.
So you could almost have, like, a whole separate identity on your phone with all these people that you meet. That's so weird.
It is very weird, but you know, we're old. I don't know. I think if I were younger, I might find it kind of interesting. But yet, you know, they did call them their friends, right? It wasn't like a separate category of these are, you know, these text message chat ghosts, right? They did see them as being their friends.
But you know, I have to say now, like I talk less on the phone, I see less people, but I do so much instant messaging, like on the computer, and as well as doing emails, like you and I, we live in the same city, and how often do we actually pick up the phone and talk?
I know, it's almost a bit awkward talking to you over the phone. I'm much more, actually it's true, I'm more comfortable either emailing you or seeing you in person than I am talking to you over the phone.
Well, we got going on email, we established our friendship.
Yeah, for sure, no, that's true. But there, I think there, in a way there was always the possibility with us that there might be a real-world friendship, which I think is something that's a bit new now with online friendships and now these cell phone friendships, that it seems like a different category of friendship.
It's like virtual friends.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. Anyway, that's a book called Keitai, which is cell phone in Japanese, by a guy named Kenji Koyama.
Are you positive that pronunciation is correct?
I just made it up. Go big or go home, I say.
Now, what else do we have today? Oh, yes, we have something that's kind of cool. Actually, I think it's something that you told me about, but now I'm the one who has to talk about it. Thank you very much. No, it's this thing called Going On. And what they want to do is, you know how we have so many different things that we have to deal with online? You know, we sort of have our Yahoo, we have our, you know, Hotmail, we have our Simpatico accounts, we have all the different shopping things, and they just sort of want to bring it all together under one hub.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. I mean, the thing that Going On, I was reading about it in Wired magazine, actually, on their online version anyway. And Going On seems kind of interesting because it's basically trying to be like a common login and username password thing for all of the many things that we're members of online. And if you think about all the like stupid login things that you have to remember. It's just out of control.
I can't remember. Like, I've got this Gmail now, and I can't even remember my name, never mind the password. Well, I can remember, like, my real name. No, it's Mondo Bondo.
But actually, the other thing that I thought was interesting about that, the Wired article, was they were talking about it as part of this thing called Identity 2.0, and there's a Canadian company called Skip, and you can find them at Skip, which is spelled SXIP.com.
Like you're going to remember that.
SXIP.com. Anyway, they're based in Vancouver, and they're part of this like growing movement, Wired was saying, that it's about trying to establish a different sense of who owns identity. So rather than you having to give a whole lot of personal information at every single website you go to every time you want to purchase something or sign up for something, that you become much more in control of your identity.
Yeah, but then does that mean that you're handing over everything that you know? Because the one thing that's great about having all these little portals where you go and do stuff is that there's all these sort of different people that know different bits of information about you, as opposed to letting one, is it Skip? Skip, thank you, know everything. Because they would control your whole online identity, I think. Isn't that what they're proposing?
I'm not sure that it's actually gotten that far. I think the idea is for individuals to be bearers of their information. I was listening to an interview online with Dick Hart, who's the CEO of Skip, and he was talking about, he was drawing the analogy with, you know, our real world identity, where I might have a health card and a passport and a driver's license. And
I have those things.
Well, I don't have a driver's license, actually.
I was about to say, she doesn't drive. That's why she has the bike.
Luckily, I have a passport. But they all have my photograph on them. But in some way, like, I'm the one that bears the personal authentication for my information, because I'm the one with the face, right? So that was the analogy that he was drawing. So I'm not actually sure, and this, I would like to put this out to the listeners, because I would love to know if people have any more thoughts about Identity 2.0, or if you know this guy, Dick Hart, or ask him to email us. I would love to know more about how this works and where people think identity is going online. So send us an email.
Please do. At thesniffer@technologian.org. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.